So if they're actually going to be here in, well, some of them will be here in the evening service as well to go through the same thing. So if you wanted to, well, want to hear their stories again, then feel free to come back in the evening. And of course, after this service, please feel free to, thank you guys, to ask them any questions about it, especially if you're someone who wants to hear more. There are more stories that we didn't have time to tell today. So if you wanted to hear more about everything that happened, or maybe even are considering doing something like this yourself, please feel free to speak to any of them. I know some of them are out of town, but at the very least, Jason Ho, who's just putting on his fleece at the back, and Yang here, who's on the guitar with, they are very heavily involved in BLI as well, so please talk to them. And I just wanted to finish now this service with just a little word just to wrap things up, really. And actually, what they've just shared works really well with the series that Bert started us 2 weeks ago. Let's see if I can just turn this on. And so today's title is To Love Your Neighbor. And the passage that we have set for the theme for this year is from Romans 15, more specifically verse 7, the one at the top here. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And on these last few weeks, we've gone on this journey that despite whatever inadequacies you've had, whatever mistakes you've made in the past, God welcomes you. And while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And because of that, we are now freed to live these lives that are abundant, no longer slaves to fear or sin. And God has welcomed us into his presence. And because of that, we, in turn, should welcome others into our lives as well. And we're finishing on this idea, well, today we're finishing on this idea of loving your neighbor. We've all heard this commandment before, right? The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Following the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But whilst it is the second commandment, it isn't, of course, secondary to the first one. In fact, they are tied together, aren't they? Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will also love the things that he loves. And what does he love? He loves people. So therefore, we, because of that, also love the people. We love what he loves. And it's pretty simple, isn't it? We should just love the people around us. Easy. Or is it? Actually, we live in a world now that is finding loving each other very, very hard. One of the main reasons why people struggle to love each other is because we have differences. And Bert talked about this last week when he quoted the Apostle Paul when he said, love each other, pursue peace. Don't quarrel about your opinions, assuming that there are differences in opinions. But we shouldn't let those things divide us. So let me just read the whole passage to you that we're going to be quickly going through. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Paul again here is writing to the church that is having problems. There are politics involved. There are these Jews who know that they are the descendants of Abraham. They know that they are the chosen ones that have been asked to spread the gospel. They think they are the special ones. Not only that, they've been going through years and years and years of traditions that they have to follow. Circumcision, special diets. So they have come into these churches now after Christ with all these expectations of what they think a believer should look like. That you're only a true believer if, and you will only gain salvation if you are circumcised. And they started imposing all these rules onto this group of Christians. But then you also have these Gentiles, which basically means non-Jews. These people who have entered the faith recently, since Christ, with the work of Peter and Paul and all the other apostles. And these guys are coming in and looking at these Jews and going, and looking down on them and saying, you guys are old-fashioned. You think that this is the way, but it isn't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are free to live in whichever way we desire now because of Jesus. And so you've got these two groups of people who are basically at odds. You've got this group of the Jews who are just looking down on them because they focus so much on tradition. And you've got these newer batch of believers, these Gentiles, who are looking down on them and thinking that they're old-fashioned. Does that remind you of anything? Does that remind you of the church that we live in right now, where we look at each other, we have different expectations of what a believer should look like? We come from different backgrounds of what believers should, how they should behave. And when we look at each other and when we look at the people within the church, we start judging. We start expecting things that we prefer ourselves. When some of them are merely just preferences, maybe they're differences in background, but they are not core to the gospel. And Paul is telling these people to stop doing those things. Stop judging each other in such a way. He's calling them to love their neighbors. Paul comes and throws the hammer down and says, we need to welcome everyone. Why? Because Christ welcomed us. We need to pursue peace, harmony, unity. We need to settle all these differences, or maybe just put them aside and hold on to what holds us together, the similarities that we have. Paul talks about Jesus here, and he basically is saying, look, Jesus, our Lord, he also respected the Jewish traditions. He submitted himself to become a Jew when he left heaven to enter earth. And yet, he also came to save the Gentiles. Jesus was both. And we have to recognize that if it wasn't for Jesus, we all fall short of the glory of God, and that we are only justified freely, by the way, because of what he did. And he welcomes us, and he loves us while we are still sinners. We should do the same to other people. Then Paul goes on and quotes several Old Testament scriptures there to basically back his case. Paul himself was very, very educated in the Jewish ways. He was very, very educated in the scriptures. And he was telling them, look, this is in the word of God, that the gospel will reach the Gentiles. It isn't just restricted to us Jews. And he quotes them all these, proving that to him. And in some ways, this concept that the word of the gospel, salvation, will reach the Gentiles was a concept that was a mystery. It was concealed from the Jewish traditions from the past, and really only became a reality through the work that Paul was doing. And in the book of Acts, we see the journey that the apostles and the early church takes as they start to realize that actually, this message wasn't just for us, it was for everyone. That this great commission is to make disciples of all nations, and that it's our duty to do it. So regardless of race, background, political stance, we have a duty to welcome others because Christ welcomed us. And we tie that in with this idea of loving your neighbor. So the question really that I was thinking about as I was looking at this was, who is your neighbor? Now, before I go into the Greek and the Hebrew of what Paul was, or Jesus was talking about when they say loving your neighbor, I'll just tell you my neighbors first. So we have Carol across the road, then we have Barbara and Anthony, and then Peter again, Sue and Jane. Those are my neighbors. And I know that when Jesus is saying love your neighbor, he's not talking about the people who what you are living next to. But while I was preparing this message, I realized, but they are really my neighbors. But I have this conviction, wow, I walk in and out the house every day, give them a quick wave and say hi. And when it's sunny, when my kids are playing out, they'll come out and we'll have a little chit-chat and then we'll go. And they know nothing about what I do. They know nothing about this hope that I have in life, that I believe in the gospel. So my question to you, before we even go into a bit more of this, is who is your neighbor? Who are the people that you're actually living next to? Who are the people that you are actually maybe just walking past with a brief hello? Is there something we can do for the people who are actually living next to us? Maybe we can show them something that they didn't expect a neighbor to do. Maybe that is one way. So I think there's no need to just take this literally, but I thought it was just an interesting thought that are we actually loving our neighbors? Of course, further on then, we're talking about neighbors, we're talking about the people who we do life with. So whether it's friends here, whether it's the people in this church, whether it's colleagues, whether it's course mates, whether it's friends and family. These are the people that are actually around us. So who are the people around you? I want us to all think now of maybe one or two people who are the people that are around you that God has impressed onto your heart, that maybe they need to know the truth about life. They need to know the truth of the gospel. Who are those people that are around you right now? Well, not physically right now, or maybe it is. Who are your neighbors that God has commanded you to love? Who are those people? And if God has put a name on your heart, or there is a burden for someone on your heart, I encourage you to not ignore it. Because our neighbors, of course, are the people here, but they're also the people in the Philippines. But where has God placed you in your life at the moment? And who are the people that you can love? And there isn't a question of, oh, should I love them? No, God says you have to love them. Why? Because I love you. And if you love me, you will love the people that I love, and so you will extend that love to them. So maybe now you've got in your head of a neighbor or someone at work or at school that maybe you think you need to love more. I want to finish by just asking then, but how do you love? How do you love in a way that is more than just putting a heart on their Facebook post? How do you love in a way that is a bit more than just giving them a pat on the back? Oh, hey, have a good weekend. What does it really mean to love them without being creepy? How do we actually love them properly? That's a hard question because all of you have different neighbors and they will receive love in very different ways. My wife and I, we receive love in very different ways. It's that whole love languages book that has been the end of me because it shows me, there's so many different ways to communicate love. So it is different for every person. But then for me, there is one thing that is the same. There are principles that are the same for all of us as we love the people around us. And for me, that always just goes back to, how did Jesus love? I have no points today to kind of iron this out with three bullet points, but I just looking through the scriptures, looking through the books of Mark, where you see Jesus walking on this earth. Jesus came from heaven to earth to show us how to live and to show us how to love. So it's good that we go to the Word to see what he actually did and how he actually loved. The first thing that I noticed was Jesus was accessible to everyone. He had a lot of people around him, no doubt. There were crowds, so it would be hard to get to him. But he himself was always accessible to people. Children could get to him. Children. And he says, let the children come to me. He was accessible to everyone. Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, women, which at the time would have still been a big deal. Jesus always had time for people. Time. How good are we at giving up our time for people? Time is money. Time is currency. Time is valuable. When was the last time we gave up our time for someone without something in return? When were we willing to give up our time? Well, quality time is a love language, right? When have we given up our time for people? When was the last time you did it? This isn't a rebuke. This is just a question. Curiosity-wise, when was the last time you gave up some time for someone? Because often people just need time. We live in a Chinese culture where we bring up kids and we think we love them by providing them with education, with material objects, with toys, with food. When so many children grow up wanting just time. The people around us, maybe that we see at work, and we always say, how are you doing? You're all right, you're all right. I'm guilty of this because I don't usually say hello. I found out that I say, you're all right. That's my thing. You're all right. But I realize I never actually stay behind to hear what the answer is. I was like, you're all right. And then I walk off. And I'm like, when do we give time to people? Second thing is, let's say they do have our time. How much of that is us then projecting or presenting the truth to them? When you have a colleague sharing with you about something that is destructive in their lives, maybe something that they're not even aware of. Do we have it in us to show them love by telling them the truth? Well, let's go further back. Do we have it in us to tell our colleagues the truth where we were on Sunday morning when they ask us how our weekend was? But furthermore then, do we share with them the truth that is life? When they're maybe sharing these struggles or these things that they're doing, do we have it in us to share with them, actually, that may not be the best, and I'll tell you why? Do we commit to telling them the truth? And this isn't just with the words that we say. We have to be agents of truth even in the way we live. A quote that I've always loved since I was young is, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary, or when necessary. What does that mean? That you preach the gospel without words. How do you do that? By simply by the way you live. If someone looks at your life, or someone looks at my life, do they see truth? Do they see someone who is living by the truths that they declare that they're believing in? What are those truths? That Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us, and because of that, we are set free from the things of this world. And that we are free to give because we freely received. And it's in that final verse, which I'm going to try and go back to. There we go. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I think that's how you proclaim the gospel. That's how you proclaim the gospel, by living. By living with hope, with joy, and with peace. When this world is quite hopeless right now, in our workplaces, they're quite hopeless. When things happen, people lose joy, or really, they lose happiness. But if we were able to show them joy, regardless of circumstance, that actually our joy is not under threat because our joy is based on Christ alone. If we are able to show them peace when things aren't going well in our surroundings, but we know that God is in control and that he is sovereign and that he loves us deeply, that we have nothing to worry about. If we can do those things and if we can live with hope, that is preaching the gospel. That is loving them. Are we loving our neighbors with our time and we're sharing them the truth and explaining to them the reason for our hope? And finally, one thing that I can see Jesus do when he loved people was, and it's related to the two things, is he was always willing to go out of his way. I hate interruptions. I have a plan. I know what I'm going to do this week. But if someone comes to me and says, oh, but can you do this? I'm like, oh, add it on to next week. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was walking one place and then he'd have someone come to him for help, whether it's a centurion or whether it's a lady who's struggling, been struggling for years. And he would stop and he would interrupt his own schedule and his own plans for them. He would go out of his way to love them and to see to their needs. That is love. And what is the greatest example of love? That someone would lay down their lives for another. That Jesus went out of the way in the most incredible sense that you can imagine. That he left his throne in heaven. He didn't need to leave it. It wasn't part of where he would choose to go. But he left it, went a big diversion to earth to save us. Because if left to ourselves, the consequences of our mistakes, of our sin, we wouldn't get to know him, we wouldn't be able to see him. But he took a very long way out of his own way to come to love us. The next possible chance we have in showing love to the people around us, the next possible chance we have to give up our time to tell them the truth, to go out of our way. So when they look at you, you know, and I heard this recently from someone who was talking about one of our friends here in the church, is there's just something different about that guy. It's just something different. I'd love for the people around us in our workplaces and schools and friends to say that about all of us. There's something different about that person. And then that we can show them that we have hope, not because of ourselves, not because we're positive people, but because we have the God of hope living within us. So let us commit to loving our neighbors in any way we can, whoever God puts in front of us. The mission field is in the Philippines. The mission field is also in Birmingham, Manchester, Nottingham, London, Leicester, wherever it is. Shall we pray? God, you are our source of hope. You are our source of joy and peace. Lord, you call us to love you with all our hearts, souls, and minds and strength. Why? Because, Lord, you are the one that won't corrupt us. Lord, you are the one that will complete our lives. And in turn, Lord, you ask us to also love the people around us as we love ourselves. Would you call us to welcome others as you welcomed us? So, Lord, there's two things that I would love to ask of you together with my brothers and sisters. First is, who are the neighbors that you've placed around me that you would love for me to love even more? Is there anyone in particular that you are drawing me to? And Lord, secondly then, if you've given us these people around us, Lord, how can we love them so that they may know that of your love for them? What are the things that we can do to love them? What are the things that they need? We lay down our own desires, our own preferences, our own time, and we commit to living our lives according to the truth that is in your gospel, Lord. So I pray that you empower our brothers and sisters here today as we leave this gathering this morning. Lord, that you will walk beside us and that your spirit will live within us and show us the way in how we can love others more. So Lord, now we spend this time in song to respond to you. We thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.